unlock doors you're not prepared to go through.
Change has come to America.
The truth is out there.
Some alien race to come down and threaten us.
The military-industrial complex.
A highly funded yet unofficial government agency.
I've now been in 57 states.
From a bunker surrounded by flowers somewhere in the heartland of America, this is PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, everybody, and welcome to Friday, July the 31st, 2009. We are surrounded by flowers, and Sam says that they're beautiful this year, primarily because of his tending.
That is correct. He's out there warding off the groundhogs and the squirrels and the cats. And thanks to his efforts, the flower beds in the backyard, actually, you get the credit for those. Because you've been out there weeding and watering. And interestingly, this year, I couldn't say that we have hit 90 degrees Fahrenheit one time during the month of July.
I'm not sure
we
have. And in fact, one of the stories that mm-hmm. posted to
New
one
York
of the sites
City.
Today. New York City, yeah.
And this was reportedly the coolest July in the city of Chicago in something like 66 years. So it's unlike the stories we're hearing from the West Coast, where Seattle has been having temperatures over 100 degrees, which is very unusual for Seattle, mm-hmm. Washington. Here in the Midwest and on the East Coast, Northeast anyway, it's been much cooler than usual. All of which just goes to show that you can pick almost any particular data point you want and make it illustrate a point you want to make.
Exactly. I mean, if you were taking a look at only this year, you would be talking about global winter.
Global cooling, right. And it was not that long ago that Newsweek and other major media were running articles about the threat posed by global cooling.
Mm-hmm.
That soon we'd see crop failures and mass starvation because the Northern Hemisphere would be too cold to grow crops.
Mm-hmm. So we're about to go into a next little ice age.
Right. And now we're facing the opposite, where we're warmed.
Which is actually what the movie The Day After Tomorrow
is all about.
Espouses,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just radical global cooling.
Well, they take global warming and turn it into global cooling.
Yes, because you know that global warming actually means the whole Northern Hemisphere freezes. Yeah. Okay. I get it.
Well, they claim it has to do with the whole, you know, motion of the oceans, mm-hmm. and how it increases decreases the salinity of the oceans and therefore changes all of the wind patterns. So there you go.
The Earth is a far more complex system than I think our scientists have really grasped. And when you look at selected data sets and then extrapolate from those with models that cannot or do not take everything into account, you wind up with just these radically wrong conclusions. In fact, we talked last week about very prominent climatologists saying that the models being used by the climate change alarmists are just fundamentally flawed. And so, you know, once again, it comes back to, maybe it's all about the control and not about trying to help us.
Isn't it weird that there were tornadoes in Philadelphia, but in Pennsylvania,
well,
in the Poconos area,
which is unusual because you normally don't find tornadoes forming in mountainous areas.
No.
The Poconos are pretty hilly. Yeah. Normally you find tornadoes in the Midwest, the Plains states, which give those storms a lot of room to really ramp up and build up
and
to
in
some
areas
frightening
where,
proportions.
You know, the one, the
Mississippi River Valley.
No. The northern stream.
Oh, the jet stream.
The jet streams meet. It's usually where that happens.
Mm-hmm.
That happens generally
meets the Gulf,
in the Bible Belt, so to speak.
Right.
Indiana and Kansas and
Illinois,
Iowa,
Arkansas, Texas,
yeah.
Oklahoma, right.
Yeah, generally not in Pennsylvania. Not that they don't have Bibles or belts there. They do.
Yep. So it's... Sorry, I was looking for something else there in your last comment. Just almost slid past me. Yes.
Let's see what else is going on. And by the way, if you haven't been to my Facebook page, that's where we've posted all kinds of flower pictures.
Yeah.
And Sam has several new pictures up there that were taken today.
Yeah.
You don't want to miss the Sam pictures. Now that I figured out how to get the pictures off my phone.
And into your computer, yeah. Now you're a dangerous woman.
I am.
And Sam,
I've got that phone in my pocket 24/7, so I can be clicking away in my sleep. I don't know. If I were taking Ambien.
You probably would be doing them in your sleep, yeah. But you can tell by the look on Sam's face, like, mother, That is quite enough, thank you. It's hard to be stealthy when you're being followed around by your own personal
photographer. He's out there trying to scare up the squirrels, and I'm there, you know, following behind him like some clumsy, get out of here, you're giving me away, woman.
Well, moving on from climate change and things happening around the world, comes news that's not being widely reported, and this is the top story at peeringintodarkness.com right now, the situation in Afghanistan is more grave than is being reported here in the United States.
You know, they're really not talking about it much, even on the cable news stations, because I'm home during the day and I'm watching them all day long. They really don't talk too much about the Afghanistan war ramp up, and it is being ramped up. And I think a correlation to that right now is an article that a news story that came out. Sorry, Brian, I haven't eaten yet. That the GI Bill has been expanded so that if you stay in for 10 years, your GI school benefits will go to your family if you choose.
So a way for a soldier to pay for his or her children to go to school.
Yeah, exactly. Or a young guy, if he wants his wife to go, say in 10 years, say he's already gone. I mean, there are a lot of ways that can be used. There was one soldier who was interviewed and he said, you know what, I've got two kids. So they're allowing me after 10 years to give half of it to one child and half to another child.
You know, I've got to say that that's a pretty powerful incentive right now with college being as expensive as it is. I can't say for sure. If I were 18 or 19 right now, that might be a pretty strong incentive to join the military.
It would be. And look at the unemployment right now.
Right, exactly.
It really has become a very attractive alternative for those young men and women who just don't know what they're going to do with themselves.
Right, because those who are coming out of college or out of high school right now are finding that things are not – there really aren't a lot of open doors right now. You basically have to really push, apply yourself, and be willing to do just about anything, which frankly is kind of the way it was for our parents and grandparents and going back you know, almost to the dawn of time. It's like our generation and our kids' generations almost got used to things being handed to them because we in America still are probably the wealthiest nation on the face of the planet in terms of per capita, you know, family income. And we see in a lot of kids, or did up until the last couple of years, that fast food restaurants, for example, in the part of St. Louis where we lived, had to pay well above minimum wage because they just couldn't get kids who wanted to work otherwise. Let's see, I could go flip burgers for $5.50 an hour, or mom and dad just give me a couple hundred bucks a week just to stay out of their hair. So why should I bother?
Even now, for $7.25 an hour, or whatever it has gone up to, that's really hardly enough to get by.
True. But sadly, there are an awful lot of people out there who are, you know, willing to take just about whatever they can get. You know, right now, the unemployment rate, when you calculate it the way it was calculated, you know, 25, 30 years ago before the government decided to start tweaking the numbers for political gain, we're looking at unemployment rate, real unemployment, over 20%.
Well, here's what's really interesting. It goes beyond the military and the attractive offers that are being made by recruiters to get young men and women to sign up. It goes into what Obama and even Michelle Obama during the campaign, they both said all Americans will be required to serve. And if you can't serve in a military capacity, you're going to be required. And that's the word that was used, required, to serve in some other way. And my guess is when Obama says that he can create jobs, that's how. He's going to require everybody to participate in AmeriCorps in some
way. That is the only way the government can create jobs is by putting more people on the payroll of the federal government. And that's about the only area in which the United States employment figures have looked good over the last year or so. Because and it certainly isn't the result of the stimulus money that's being put out there. In fact, a lot of the stimulus money is it's like they took the Keynesian suggestion of hiring a bunch of guys to dig holes and then a bunch more guys to fill in the holes that have just been dug. In other words, nothing productive, just paying people to be busy doing something.
And if it's not working, it's because you didn't dig enough holes.
Exactly right.
And they're not big enough.
Associated Press did a study of where the stimulus money is going, by the way, and they found that even though President Obama told us that this was a golden opportunity for us to start making some headway against the $65 billion in backlogged maintenance projects and repair projects that we need, America's bridges are crumbling.
And the one in my hometown probably is.
It's been closed across the last two weekends
because they're afraid it may need to be replaced.
And this is an important bridge. It's across the Ohio River, and there aren't many bridges that cross rivers like that or the Mississippi. Mm-hmm. So when you get a bridge that handles, in many cases, heavy truck traffic on a bridge that is crumbling, you have to worry. I mean, just ask the people in Minnesota about that I-35 bridge that collapsed a couple of years ago. So this was an opportunity. We're going to spend 700 and whatever billion dollars. We can take a chunk of that and apply it to bridges that are crumbling across the United States. According to the Associated Press, however, only about $1.2 billion was actually allocated for bridge projects, and about half of that money are going to bridges that are in such good shape that they wouldn't normally qualify for federal funds. Why? Well, because they can be fixed quicker, and the money can be spent sooner and put into the economy sooner. So we're not really seeing any repair of the infrastructure coming out of the stimulus plan. Again, guys digging holes and other guys filling in holes.
That's what they meant when they said shovel ready.
Yes, we're just shoveling stuff around, and it's not all to do with money. So, so apparently those crumbling bridges aren't just quite shovel ready enough.
Sorry, I started thinking about the Kahuna.
Yeah, a little aside, we saw a clip from a conference today of prominent Republicans, gathering together to decide how they're going to retake the White House and reclaim power. And Michael Steele, who's the chairman of the GOP, said was basically challenging Republicans who have moved to the left in order to try to hold on to their jobs. And he basically said, if you don't have the kahunas to stand up for what you believe, did you mean cojones? No, I meant big Hawaiian surfer dudes. If you don't. So it was unintentionally funny. Sorry, Mr. Steele, but that was pretty funny, even though you didn't intend it to be.
No, he didn't.
Well,
we were talking about the war in Afghanistan.
Yes.
And again, that's not getting a whole lot of play in the press. At the same time, we do have a new leader in Pakistan, and it appears. Or now, he hasn't been in there very long, and actually in January he had a heart attack. Hmm. So we'll see how long he stays in office. But right now, it looks like he's mending fences, especially with India,
which is
a big deal because right now India is constructing a huge navy.
Yeah, that is a big deal, for mainly because both of those countries, which are very antagonistic, are both nuclear powers.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want people with nuclear weapons right across a border from each other who are really looking for an excuse to start shooting.
Exactly. And the article that I linked to at PID News goes into how Singh apparently is, it looks like he may be able to take on the Taliban, which is absolutely why we're in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
At least that's what we're being told. That we're in Afghanistan to take out the Taliban, which I thought we originally went in back in 2001.
Into Afghanistan to take out
into
the Taliban.
Into Afghanistan, yeah. To
right.
Take them out. But now we're having to move into Pakistan.
Right. And as we talked last week, President Obama is being advised by experts that we need to do so because there's a chance that Pakistan may fall to the Taliban. And if they did, then the Taliban would control nuclear weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that may be so. It also sounds like the justification we used to go into Iraq, because what if Saddam Hussein gets nuclear weapons?
I know, but we do know for sure that they have them. I mean,
yes.
We didn't necessarily know about Saddam Hussein.
That is very true.
But we know that
Pakistan has nuclear weapons.
They have the weapons and they have the knowledge.
Yeah, thanks to surreptitious help from the Safari Club, United States Intelligence, working with the Saudis to help the Pakistani. Anyway. What a tangled web we weave.
I know.
Yes.
Didn't you talk with the Frog Brothers about the Safari Club once?
Yes, and we talked about A.Q. Khan, who was the father of
the
Pakistani.
We'll have to dig up that
I'll put a link to
interview.
It in the show notes.
Yeah,
Paul and Philip Collins have written about that considerably and done a lot of research on that. So we've scratched the surface of it, but Paul and Philip have.
Sorry, those who are new to PID
yes,
Radio.
Yes.
I always lovingly refer to the Collins brothers as the Frog Brothers.
Yes. Look up the movie Lost Boys, and you'll understand the reference. And but yes, they've done some excellent work on that, and explains how Pakistan really got the nukes and the United States' role in it. Some interesting things happening on the spiritual plane that we didn't touch on over the last couple of days regarding the temple in Jerusalem.
On Tisha B'Av,
right,
which is a day of mourning in Israel, the Temple Mount, Temple Institute.
Temple Institute, right.
Laid the very first, almost like a cornerstone ceremony, mm-hmm. the first part of the foundation for what will become the altar, unless, of course, it's blown up.
Yeah.
Which I say is a pretty good chance, because I seriously doubt that any Arabs in the area want that to go down. They don't see that the Jewish people have any right to that area anyway.
Yeah, this was a sticking point. It always comes down to what's to be done with Jerusalem, and specifically what's to be done with the Temple Mount.
Mm-hmm.
Orthodox Jews believe that the temple must be rebuilt, and prophecy indicates that it will be. But there's a problem in that the presumed site for Solomon's temple is under the Dome of the Rock. So,
Temple Institute is a really interesting organization. If you've never gone to their website, isn't it templeinstitute.org? Take a look
know.
And see if that's what it is. They have recreated so many aspects of the vessels, the shovels, the just every tiny mm-hmm. you know the costumes, the clothes that the priests wear. I mean, they have their pictures there of what they have. They were designed and built, constructed. It is amazing. They're beautiful.
Yes. And a lot of pictures in this slideshow on the page. And you're right. It is templeinstitute.org of other elements that are required
mm-hmm.
For the restoration of the sacrifices.
Exactly. You
at
can't
the temple.
Just jump in and do it. It takes a lot, including ritualized cleansing of the entire group that will become the first. The new group of priests,
mm-hmm.
They've identified who those people are.
Mm-hmm.
They have started raising children who will specifically be involved in a ceremony that will be part of the first red heifer sacrifice. Mm. Child has to be – it's a long story. We can link to it if you want to, or we can do a show on it, which I think is a better idea.
Not a bad idea.
Show about the entire process of the red heifer, but it goes back to – you have to ritually cleanse the high priest before he can do anything.
Right.
So you got to find a ritually clean spot to cleanse him. So it's like this catch-22. How do you cleanse him when you don't have anything that's clean? Because that whole area has been trampled under by Gentiles.
That is true.
So you have to cleanse an area. And that may require finding the ashes of the previous 9 red heifers. I believe it's 9. And they're looking for the 10th red heifer.
Mm-hmm.
The previous ashes would be pure, ritually pure. And you can use those to prepare the place to sacrifice the 10th one.
Okay. Yeah, it's a
and,
very...
And a child has to carry the old ashes.
Huh.
Because it has to, and I think the child is carried. I have to go back and look at it. But it's assumed that the land that the people, the men and women would be walking on, probably mostly men, honestly,
mm-hmm.
Is unclean. It is very specific. And if you read the Old Testament, you'll see God is very specific. Because everything, every aspect of those sacrifices mirror something that takes place in heaven, and they all have very, very particular meaning. They picture things that take place in heaven, and some of those things we see in the book of Revelation when the altar is open and we actually see into it and what's going on there. Those are things that are pictured by the priests here on earth. So I think the fact that the altar may be built
mm-hmm.
is really exciting.
Now, is it the Temple Institute that has constructed the very intricate scale model of the temple, or was this...
No, there was a gentleman in England.
Okay, all right.
Really tiny village. I think it only has one street.
And this was something else that was at peeringintodarkness.com, uh-huh. PID News, which was posted just a couple of days ago. We meant to talk about it, and time got away from us. But
imagine that.
Yeah. There are a lot of things that are going on that we here in the West don't pay attention to because, number one, as Christians, we're not, I think, as attuned to this and the significance that's placed on this by Orthodox Jews in the Holy Land. But also the significance, and you're right, maybe doing a show on this, not only regarding the intricate and very detailed preparations that have to be made, but the prophetic significance mm-hmm. of the restoration of the sacrifice in the temple. Now, what does it mean, and how does it relate to the timeline for the return of Jesus Christ?
It is. It's exciting, and I know sometimes it's really easy to get caught up in and just to be very U.S.-centric and
yes,
to just get caught up in the politics of what goes on here. And honestly, sometimes to become a little fearful because we do appear to be losing liberties left and right.
Mm-hmm.
We really do. But you have to step back and take a look at everything and how it fits into God's prophetic timeline. And remember, he really is in control of all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe in him as your Savior, if you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are in God's hand at all time. And only those things that he permits to get to you will get to you. So there is no reason to fear.
Yeah, and count it all joy when things happen.
Amen. That's why you and I laugh so much.
Exactly right. It's not because we don't take these topics seriously. We do. Otherwise, we wouldn't spend as much time as we do every day just doing this show. And as we've said before, this is the kind of conversation that we have anyway.
Mm-hmm.
So you're just sort of listening in on the stuff that, hey, did you read this? The stuff that we talk about anyway.
We do.
There's one thing I do want to mention and want to preface this by saying I'm trying to set up a time to confirm a time to interview Dr. Michael Heiser again in the very near future. He said he's interested, but he's a very busy guy, as you can imagine.
He is.
And so it's going to depend a lot on his schedule, but hopefully we'll have him for an interview on A View from the Bunker within the next couple of weeks, one of the Sunday night programs. But bring him up now because he has weighed in on a meme that's been floating about the internet for the last 36 hours or so. WorldNet Daily posted a story in which they cited the research of a gentleman who believed that he had discovered the name of the Antichrist
mm-hmm.
from Scripture.
And I want to say, first of all, I really think that this gentleman, I assume it's a man, I think WorldNet Daily refers to him as a he because
mm-hmm.
it's just a username that is all we get. You know what? I honestly think this person went about this study with the very best of intentions and to the very best of his ability.
Right.
This is someone who has studied Scripture. He told WorldNet Daily that he does have an education. You get the impression that this is a man of letters
mm-hmm.
or probably a man of letters. I don't think it's a woman. But anyway, Dr. Michael Heiser not only has studied how to study the Bible,
mm-hmm.
he can read it in its original language without any helps. I mean, he
right.
can just read it. He has written this software or advised on the software
mm-hmm.
that allows us to read it. And one of the things that he gets into in his response is that it's really dangerous to assume because a word transliterates, it sounds like
mm-hmm.
in English a word in Hebrew, that you cannot assume they're equal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's very dangerous to start substituting letters, K and Q.
Yeah.
You need to be careful. You cannot substitute one for the other. When you have a word BRK and another word BRQ,
mm-hmm.
they're different words entirely. Entirely.
Right.
The word read and read. We have two words in English that sound exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
They don't mean the same thing.
Yeah, dear and dear. There mm-hmm. are any number of examples that fit that pattern. And
road and road. I mean, road is in half. Past tense of ride. I mean, there
right.
are so many things that they may be in some way connected. You might be able to make an argument there, but you can't assume one equals the other.
Right.
And Mike goes into a wonderful article, a nice long explanation of why you can't do that. And he recommends some really good software that he's
mm-hmm.
been recommending for a while. And we're just going to have to bite the bullet and buy it, I think, because it's not cheap. But I think in the long run, if you really want to be a Bible scholar, you need it.
Right. Mike used to put out a monthly newsletter, and essentially his blogs have taken the place of his monthly newsletter. It's easier to publish because you don't have to sit and actually format a document. You can just post when the inspiration strikes or when the topic is hot. And he's got one called Paleo Babble, another one called UFO Religions, another one called The Naked Bible, and each deals with a separate topic of interest to Mike or expertise, as in this case. Mm-hmm. Now, if you haven't read the WorldNet Daily story, we will say that the conclusion of the gentleman interviewed by WND was that the Bible, when you analyze the words in there, indicates that the Antichrist is Barack Obama. And Mike explains in his post, which we'll link to at PIDradio.com, that that's not...
You can't use that verse to make that
claim. You can't use that verse to make that claim, right. You know, who knows? I mean, we don't profess to know or pretend to know who ultimately the Antichrist will be. But in this case, you know, Mike's point is you can't take apart the words the way was done to make this case. So... And he has a lot of valuable information like that in there. There's another recent post here from a couple of days ago about the Gospel of Thomas, which is one of the favorite books that almost made the Bible of Gnostics, because they argue that it's closer to the actual words Jesus spoke than the Gospels that are in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. And Mike goes, you know, and has posted
Dan Brown
a number of times.
Loves the Gospel of Thomas.
Right, right. And in fact, a novel that I've been reading by Steve Barry called The Templar Legacy also references the Gospel of Thomas and treats it as canonical, treats the four Gospels in the New Testament as unreliable. And so, you know, I made it about 360
They're
pages.
They're just jealous guys. That's what we're told by the Gnostics.
Exactly, exactly. So I made it about 360 pages into this novel and then realized it's based on the same bad history and bad scholarship as the Da Vinci Code. And I just had to set it aside. It's like, okay, which is too bad because the Templar Legacy is actually a much better book. And Steve Barry is a much, much better writer than Dan Brown. It was really interesting, and I like the characters, but I'm like, this whole...
Well, you wouldn't have known it if you hadn't read that much.
So. Anyway, but yeah, do read, get this article from Mike Heiser at his blog, and then make sure you bookmark them for future study, and keep listening as we... hopefully, we'll have Mike back on very, very soon here on PID Radio.
Well, we're going to end on something really good. A couple of really good things. One of them is that those pictures are now available of the wonderful cruise that Air Force One took around New York City.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, those pictures only cost about $2,000 a piece.
Yeah,
that's not bad.
No, not bad. And just remember, it's that White House military office that will be in charge of protecting the government in the event of a nuclear attack in Washington, D.C. The same flawless planning and attention to detail that went into... Oh, we forgot to call the mayor's office in New York.
Oh,
we forgot to prep the bunker. Did you bring the keys?
Well, another good news bit we're going to end on this for the week is... The California Film and Television Tax Credit Program has now been signed by Governor Schwarzenegger. That means that those people who are producing television and film programs, even though California is broke, are going to get tax credits.
Because what would we do if we didn't have...
You guys all left and went to Vancouver.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, nice to know our priorities are in the right place.
That's right.
Well, our email address for your comments, questions, and topic suggestions, please send those to radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
And please share your information with us on Facebook. I just posted a bunch of pictures of our flower beds on Facebook, and I made the comment that we've had over 100 walnut trees in our backyard that we have painstakingly worked on. Derek's removed so many of them over and over and over again, but they continue to put out their juglone. They're evil trees.
Yeah.
And I love black walnuts, but I'll tell you what, they don't play well with others. And if you have suggestions for things like that, that'd be great. Or if you have comments for any of the stories, log on to Facebook or Twitter. You can follow us there. And Sam's pictures are up at Facebook, too.
Yes, and he's quite a handsome guy. Yeah. This weekend, interview with Frank Lordy, who is the gentleman who coordinated and put together the Revelations Radio Network, which is a network of podcasts of which PID Radio is honored to be one. Or, well, we are. PID Radio is sort of the, you know, watch my phraseology there. But it also includes some excellent programs like Russ Dizdar's preemption Saturn, broadcasts. Yeah. And, of course, Future Quake with Dr. Future.
Oh, yes.
And then, of course, Frank's own podcast, Chris White, and others who are all collected under that banner. We'll talk to Frank White about, or Frank Lordy, rather, about what the experience has been like. And if trying to herd a bunch of podcasters is like trying to herd cats at times.
We just turned over 29 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So until Monday, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud and clear. A better day is coming soon. To get us out of here. And living in the
This is PID Radio.